the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In his goodness, God reminds us as we light the Christ candle each week that Jesus has come and remains with us by his Holy Spirit until he returns again. Praise be to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Friends, welcome to this time of worship at St. Stephen's. We're very grateful for the technology to be able to bring you the Word of God in your homes or wherever you choose to participate. Also, a word of thanks to those who provide music in these services for the purpose of leading us closer into God's holy presence. Church, would you pray with me? Holy, ever-present God, as we enter this time set apart to be spent with you, we pray that you pour out your Holy Spirit over and through us and draw each of us closer in to know you more and to be known. Fill our hearts with your kingdom treasure and lead us in the ways of right living with you. These things we ask in confidence because we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
In 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 to 9, we hear these words. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So let's pray the prayer of confession together. Loving God, we have sinned in many ways. We have not loved you with all our hearts. We have not loved one another as we should. Sometimes we have let pride rule us, sometimes anger. Sometimes our sin has been carelessness, sometimes resentment or impatience or greed. Forgive us and restore us with your love and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, the stories of Scripture assure us that in Christ, our past is behind us. We are free to live new lives, to be renewed people, and to try once again to be who God intends for us to be. This is the way that has been made for us in Christ. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen.
The reading today is taken from Genesis chapter 29, verses 15 to 28. Then Laban said to Jacob, because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be? Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful of form and face. Now Jacob loved Rachel. So he said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of his love for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, for my time is completed, that I may go in to her. And Laban gathered all the men of the place and made a feast. Now it came about in the evening that he took his daughter Leah and brought her to him, and Jacob went in to her. Jacob also gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter, Leah as a maid. So it came about in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this that you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served with you? Why then have you deceived me? But Laban said, "It is not the practice in our place to marry off the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week of this one, and we will give you the other also for the service which you shall serve for me for another 7 years." And Jacob did so and completed her week, and he gave him his daughter Rachel as his wife. The word of God. Thanks be to God.
Earlier this summer, I was visiting with someone who has been through a lot in these past few months, more than just trying to figure out life in the midst of a global pandemic. Both he and his wife have faced fairly significant health challenges. These emerged prior to the time of lockdown, and they both required hospitalization and serious medical care at the same time. My friend told me that as this was happening, they were both feeling a little as if the situation was particularly unfair. They were felt like God was not only not answering their prayers, but they were beginning to wonder if he was even listening. It's not hard to imagine how they could have felt that way. However, in his wisdom, my friend also told me that what had seemed so hard and unfair in the midst of those days took on a new light as soon as the pandemic lockdown began and all medical procedures and surgeries were halted. Suddenly, at that point, it became clear that not only had God been answering their prayers all along, he'd been ensuring that both my friend and his wife were able to get the medical care they needed while they still could. Suddenly, what had felt like awful timing was revealed to actually have been perfect timing. Like the rest of us, they hadn't realized what was coming, but it became clear that God had known. Now, it didn't take long for my friend to realize that new perspective, that God hadn't truly been with them, answering their prayers all along. Their perspective shift happened fairly quickly. It just took a few weeks. But I do wonder how long that might have taken for Jacob and Leah from our story today. I wonder if they were ever able to sense God's hand at work in the midst of their struggles. We're continuing along with our stories of Jacob today, and we're picking up with him now after he has fled his family home and arrived in Haran, where he's been living with his uncle Laban for about a month. If we had read the part of the story prior to our text today, we would have heard that Jacob has fallen hard and fast for Laban's young daughter, Rachel. He was in love. He had agreed to work for Laban for 7 years to earn Rachel's hand in marriage. Now, we need to just press pause for a minute for a little side note, because this is one of those Old Testament stories that has a couple of things in it that we probably object to and maybe even find offensive. Paying a woman's father to be able to marry her, and a man having more than one wife. Well, it's helpful if we can try to remember that these are stories of life in the ancient world. And while they may seem strange and even wrong for us today, such things were actually the norm for that place and time in patriarchal societies. Now, acknowledging that doesn't mean that we agree with them, nor does it mean that we believe that the Bible is advocating for them. It just means that we are prepared to see them within their historical and cultural contexts. And we do that so that we can still come to this story and try to see what there is for us to learn today from this part of Jacob's life. As difficult as these ways are for us to get our heads around, the truth is that God was continuing to work and to bring life even through these less than egalitarian ancient ways of life. So as was done, Jacob had negotiated that marriage contract with Laban, and that meant that after he had worked for Laban for 7 years, he would be free to marry Rachel. Now, interestingly, that length, 7 years, was actually twice as long as would have been the norm for people negotiating marriage contracts. It seems Jacob was smitten and wanted to ensure that his offer was one Laban couldn't refuse. Well, Jacob did the work, and the 7 years passed, and the day and the night of the wedding feast arrived. But things didn't go quite as expected. In the morning after the wedding night, when the marriage was made official, Jacob realized that it wasn't actually Rachel he'd married. It was her older sister, Leah. Now, you might find yourself wondering how that could have possibly happened. Well, it's actually entirely plausible when you remember that wedding nights in Jacob's world and time would have involved a heavily veiled bride and a wedding feast that likely included a lot of alcohol. It seems that when Jacob awoke, he realized he was on the receiving end of a deception that strangely echoed the way he had tricked his own father and older brother. He must have realized the way things had twisted back on him. He was fuming, and it must have stung when Laban calmly explained to him that in Haran, it's just not done to place the younger child before the elder. You'll remember that Jacob had actually schemed to do just that in his own family, and it had worked. He'd tricked his father and brother into giving him all the perks that really should have been Esau's. But in an ironic twist, his father-in-law's own scheming had ensured that that same kind of reversal didn't happen for his daughters. If Jacob wanted to marry Rachel, then he would have to be married to her older sister Leah first. And so that's exactly what Laban arranged. Jacob, the schemer, had been out-schemed. Well, as happens throughout the biblical story, this is one of those times when, interesting as the story may be, it can be a little bit difficult to see what God might be doing, especially if you're standing too close to the action. Just looking at this one part of Jacob's story in isolation obscures the view of how God was moving in and through the lives of Jacob and his family. As that friend of mine that I told you about at the beginning of the sermon discovered, sometimes it's only with the perspective of panning back a bit that you can finally see what God might be up to. Remember that in this series we are doing this summer, we are watching for how God brought his covenant promises to Abraham into being. Namely, that Abraham's descendants would eventually form a great nation, a people God would bless, a people through whom God would bless the entire earth. It's vital that we keep that overall purpose in mind as we look again at the story of Jacob and his wives, because then we can start to see some of what God was doing in all of this. Israel would be that great nation that came through Abraham's family. And as God had promised, he would bless the Israelites. And in turn, the world would be blessed through them, most profoundly with the coming of Jesus. Now, you may remember that ancient Israel was comprised of 12 tribes coming together to form one nation. The origins of those 12 tribes all lay in Jacob's family. They came from 10 of his sons and 2 of his grandsons. So when Jacob married Rachel and Leah, God was actually putting into place the means by which those 12 tribes that would become Israel would be formed. Without Leah and Jacob's surprise marriage to her, none of the 6 sons she would go on to have would have been born. 6 sons who would be the leaders of 6 of those 12 tribes. 6 sons who would include Levi and Judah. You'll remember Moses came from Levi's family. Moses, Israel's great leader who led them out of slavery in Egypt to freedom and to the promised land. And another great leader, King David, he was actually a descendant of Judah. So was Jesus. So you can see what God was putting into place as he laid out the beginnings of those 12 tribes. The magnitude of what was actually happening when Laban tricked Jacob into marrying Leah. God's purposes were unfolding through it all, being worked out through their lives. In those strange orchestrations, God was guiding Jacob so that from his life would come all of Israel. Well, friends, stories like this one remind us that this is always happening. God is always trying to guide us towards his purposes. Like Leah, Jacob, and the others, we're often not aware of how this might be happening or the extent to which God might be moving in and through our lives. But the fact remains that Abraham's promises are ours. We are a people who are blessed by God. And we are a people through whom God wants to continue to bless the entire world. So as God's people have done throughout the ages, we can trust that God is guiding us. Then we can watch for how he might be working out his purposes through our lives, sometimes in strange and veiled ways, but always, always with the goal of bringing a greater degree of life and wholeness to all of God's good creation. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning. Please join me in these, the prayers of the people. God of the living, with all your creatures, great and small, we sing your bounty and your goodness. For in the harvest of land and ocean, in the cycles of the seasons and the wonders of each creature, you reveal your generosity. Teach us the gratitude that dispels envy, that we may honor each gift as you cherish your creation and praise you in all times and places. That this day may be holy, good, and joyful, we pray in gratitude to you, O Lord. That we may offer to you our worship and praise along with the works of our hands, minds, and hearts, we pray in gratitude to you, O Lord. That we may strive for the well-being of all creation, we pray in gratitude to you, O Lord. That in the pleasures and pains of life, we may know the love of Christ and be thankful, we pray in gratitude to you, O Lord. That we may be bound together by your Holy Spirit, in communion with all your holy ones, entrusting one another and all our life to Christ, we pray in gratitude to you, O Lord. That we may always and everywhere give thanks to you, O God, for all of our blessings and giftedness, we pray in gratitude to you, O Lord. Amen. Please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, we're very grateful for your faithful giving that helps the church to continue its mission to follow Jesus Christ. If you are wondering about ways to give, please take a look at our website. Would you pray the prayer over the gifts with me? Covenant-keeping God, whose promise is rock solid, we offer our lives and these signs of our daily living, not simply that bread might fill empty stomachs, but that, through the working of your Holy Spirit, empty lives may be filled, friendless, lonely lives find intimacy, depressed lives given hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, we've reached the end of July, and I need to let you know that for the services in August, we will not do any verbal announcements in the services. So that means you'll need to watch your Thursday emails that come from the church office for any announcements you need to be aware of. If something happens that you don't get those regularly, you may want to give the church office a call and ask Adele or Fiona to put you on that email list so that you can keep up with what's happening in August. Part of the reason we won't have any announcements is because I'm actually going to be away for a few weeks. I'm not going anywhere, but Simon and I are going to take a few weeks just to kind of catch our breath and rest and hopefully get some restoration before we come back and launch together into September. So in that time, while I'm gone, you will not be without a minister. The Reverend Foster Freed, who is a very dear friend of the St. Stephen's congregation and of Phil and I, has graciously agreed to help us out in this time. Foster will be available for any pastoral needs you may have in the next 3 weeks. If you need to reach him, you can just call the church office and Adele or Fiona will get in touch with him on your behalf. He's also going to be providing our sermons for the next 2 weeks, and that will be a real treat. So I urge you to listen in and enjoy Foster's teaching. Friends, God has placed before us life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life and follow in God's way. Go now and be people of reconciliation and integrity. And in all the paths you walk, may God hold you steady and close. May Christ Jesus bless you and every place you enter. And may the Spirit give you length of days and fullness of life. Amen.